Well, it was a good time for a trip to Toronto to see the number one team in the PWHL, and that was my privilege this past week. I got to see two games. The experience was just incredible, and I'm going to share with you what I can. We've got some upcoming games, obviously the Takeover games this weekend, and an announced game at the Bell Centre in Montreal. So let's get started with the Puck Drop
It's
Podcast.
time for PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.
Welcome on in. We have a lot of news to get to, so I'm going to try to do it as quickly as I can for you and get everything covered. First of all, I am back from my fantastic trip and great experience in Toronto, seeing PWHL Toronto play two games, one against Boston, which they won 3-1. And a fierce game against Montreal, which was a shutout win, 3-0. And as a fan, to see the teams live, see the action and the surroundings was just beyond my expectations on all levels. The fan experience in this league is just great. If you haven't been or have a chance to get to a game at any of these locations, they're doing a great job of just pumping this up. In Toronto, so many people wearing jerseys, the cheering, the chanting, the positivity, the celebration, and the bond with the team, and obviously the competition was just, I'll say it, incredible. Mattamy is a great place to see a game. My view was fantastic. I actually did get recognized by a couple of folks who follow the podcast and channel, which was just amazing for me. Thank you so much. And as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube or have the video turned on, I got some new souvenirs, the two jerseys, both Toronto and Montreal, and some autographs by players. I really wanted Marie-Philippe Poulin on the Montreal jersey, and that is the one I got on top. And got to, meet with her and just in the post-game interviews, talk to her. And the players are obviously just so excited to be in this league that the experience right now for everybody is just joyful. So join in if you can. And I really appreciate, thanks to the media and PR staff of the PWHL for being so generous and allowing me to have my fan moments as well as work to cover the game for you, obviously, and do my job. But I had to buy a lot of souvenirs and, just take advantage of the time that I was there and for them to allow me to kind of have the experience both ways around was amazing. The post-game interviews were a great privilege and I got to have a quick handshake with Jaina Hefford, which means the world to me. She is one of the players on that team that I adore. If you followed and on the famous mask, that's almost complete. I also sat right next to Debbie Harrison, the super fan that you might have seen on social media. She was dressed in her reserve player outfit. And then in the second game, she was wearing her super blazer. So that was cool. I also had a quick chat with Daniela Ponticelli and Soraya Tinker. It just, was positive and exciting and amazing, great energy. So I'm even more motivated to bring you some great content. So I hope you'll stay tuned and, hop on this ride with me. But let's talk about the news. This weekend, we've got the PWHL Takeover Weekend games in Detroit and Pittsburgh. On Saturday, Ottawa will play Boston, and that's at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. And then on Sunday, we'll see a rematch of the game between Montreal and Toronto at the PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, and that's going to be a battle. So those will obviously be two great games to watch with full crowds and NHL arenas. The excitement's really building. Here's Laura Stacey with Sidney Crosby, and she is looking forward to the game in Pittsburgh for a particular reason that I'll tell you about. And then it was also announced that there will be a game at the Bell Centre in Montreal on April 20th, and that is going to be called the Duel at the Top. And the Bell Centre, with a capacity of over 21,000, so they will probably break the record for the biggest crowd for a professional women's game. The record was set previously, of course, on February 16th. In the battle on Bay Street at Scotiabank Arena, and the attendance for that was 19,285. So April 20th, put that on your calendar at the Bell Center. This rivalry is intense, so I'm looking forward to this. You know, they're happy that they're going to break the record, and that's great. They'll get the win there. We'll see which team comes out on top. And speaking of this rivalry, the game on Friday the 8th, which was the 3-0 win for Toronto, was such a competitive, physical, intense game. You can really see the rivalry building, and these two teams are tied for first at the top of the standings. With 30 points each, Montreal has played one more game. So Toronto gets to take the spot with the, you know, better win percentage. And Toronto is on a 9-game win streak. So, you know, they've turned around their season, you know, from, it's not night and day. It's been a great progression, but you could certainly see where they trended up. And we called it on that shootout win over Montreal as a turning point for that team. And, you know, I didn't give up on them, you guys. I stayed with them, even though they were struggling at the start. So that's my team, and it looks like I have a good choice. They are getting a safer bet to make the playoffs. Right now, we've got Toronto, Montreal, Minnesota, and Boston in the playoff positions, with Ottawa in fifth, but actually tied in points with Boston. And New York starting to fade away just a little bit with 17 points. You know, they lost to Montreal. And I don't know, I said last week that the standings were starting to have a certain look, and they've stayed almost the same except for Toronto actually rising all the way to the top. So it's going to be competitive right up to the end. We're 2/3 of the way through the season, and the teams are feeling it. I got to ask a couple questions about whether the season and the grind is taking a toll on these players physically, since they're not used to it. And by the way, I will be posting a lot of that audio and video from the post-game interviews with players like Natalie Spooner, Marie-Philippe Poulin, Laura Stacey, Sarah Nurse, Renata Fast, Blair Turnbull. It was amazing to talk to all of these players and athletes and celebrate them, but got some really good information. So the injury to Poulin was a story coming out of that game for sure. I went back and watched the clips of her play in the, I thought in the third period is when it became really noticeable. And she was asked about that play where she tried to chase down Sarah Nurse to prevent the empty net goal. And you could tell that, you know, for her to do that, knowing that she was already pretty injured at that point, she did not admit to any injury right off the bat. So she told me when I got to ask her a question that...
Has it taken a toll on you physically? You know, just... In general, bumps and bruises.
Not getting younger, that's for sure. And I think seeing this league happening, it's amazing. I think all of us, we can attest to that, how it's been great to be part of this league, how fast, how physical. It's a grind. It's all new for us to travel, to have a lot of game in a month and weeks as well. It's going to be for our third game on Sunday in a week. So for us, we got to adjust. We got to find ways to recover faster and get some help.
Coach Corey Chevry couldn't confirm whether she would be available for that game in Pittsburgh. I have a feeling maybe not. We're thinking that it's a knee injury. What it looked to me was like the play with 2 minutes left in the first period where she actually got a penalty for taking down Natalie Spooner might have been the thing that injured her. She obviously played through it and finished the game, but it was a bit of an awkward fall, and I couldn't find anything else that looked like it set it off. It looked like gradually her skating got a little more labored on that leg. And, you know, with the goalie pulled, there was a moment where you could see that she was definitely hurting. So that's something to keep an eye on. So the physicality in that game, Laura Stacey was played hard physically all game long by Renata Fast particularly, and definitely afterwards seemed to have a chip on her shoulder about that and about a hit on Catherine Daou by Brittany Howard at the end of the second period that didn't get a penalty call.
You never like one of your teammates getting hit in the head. So obviously that's something that we're bringing up a lot with the players union, just trying to figure out where that line is, what the calls are, how we can make this week as safe, but also as physical and as successful as possible.
So check my channel. I'm going to have a video covering this topic as the physicality has settled into kind of a play that works. And Boston coach Courtney Kessel remarked on that after the game against Toronto. So I'll share that audio here with you.
I really think there's been a balance that's been figured out. Like, I thought at the beginning it was crazy. And then I feel like we've all settled in, like the refs have settled in. It seems pretty consistent.
So they seem to have, you know, found the line, the standard of play. But there have been a lot of dangerous looking plays. We saw the collision that kept Sophie Shirley out for a few games, and some hits that are initiated as collisions almost end up looking worse than they were intended. And we've had a few injuries. A couple of Ottawa players are out for the season. And, you know, I can only imagine that the quieter injuries and just the injuries that they're playing through are definitely there. When Toronto assistant coach Rachel Flanagan was asked about the hitting, she said that players are learning how to take contact and make a play from that contact, that they're leaning into hits and using stick lifts with contact is an important part of their play and her team's identity. So here's a little clip of what she had to say about that.
Coaching players how to accept contact. So instead of leaning, you know, into the wall, they're actually leaning away from the wall. They're ready for it to accept it. And when they're accepting it, they're also ready to make a play, lift the stick. And then just, you know, talking a lot about having their heads up and collecting information and knowing where players are coming from. Because if you can count all five of their players and you know who's coming and you know what the next option is, you can accept the contact and make a play in a really safe way. And you know that if you're going to have to make a play that requires contact, I mean, you can do it in a safe way. And we saw this from some of our players that traditionally aren't the most physical players tonight, but really accepted some contact to make a play that we needed in a moment where we had to clear the zone or things like that.
And then Laura Stacey, when asked about getting revenge on Toronto in the game this weekend, she said, literally, I can't wait for Pittsburgh, period. So, you know, the heat is turned up on this rivalry for sure. And also that Friday game, another, you know, great element that made it special was that it was International Women's Day. And a lot of the players were speaking about their role models and heroes. The Toronto players had written down their idols and posted those on the wall. There were so many special moments celebrating the history of women in sports, women trailblazers, moms, quiet heroines, you know, the power of women everywhere. And it was just very, very inspiring. And we also got the news of some player and roster additions. Mikayla Grant-Mentis signs with Montreal as a reserve player. So that's great news for her and for that team, and also eligible to sign, you know, a full-time contract with Montreal or any other team. But it sounded like the situation on why it didn't work with Ottawa was the fit and her role with the team, and the decision seemed mutual and no animosity expressed by either side that I could see. This could be a really good addition to give Montreal some scoring depth. And I expect her to make her debut on the weekend versus Toronto. And then on to the three stars of the week. And boy, there were some great performances. The first star is Ottawa's Katerina Mrazova, who has just taken off, a really, really fun player to watch. So two games and two goals, three assists, 5 points. And the second star, Kristen Campbell from Toronto, obviously with those two big, big games and a 978 save percentage in the two games. You know, great to see her just turn it on. And it seemed like she just needed to get back into a rhythm of regular games and, you know, seeing shots and getting her full ability back. I asked Natalie Spooner and Rebecca Leslie about Campbell herself, and I'll play that here.
We feel great about her. I mean, we knew that once we kind of got, you know, a few wins under our belt, she'd be cruising. We knew how good she was. And, you know, I think that now we see it and everyone else sees it, just how stellar she is in net. And she's a brick wall. She's got the size. She's got the athleticism. And she makes huge saves for us.
And then the third star, Brianne Jenner from Ottawa, with a goal and three assists in the two games last week. second only to her line mate, Katerina Mrazova. She did assist on the game winner and has, I think, you know, started to really, really show her form. And if we look at the standings for the players of the week, we've got Natalie Spooner, Poulin, Carpenter, Alina Mueller, Kristen Campbell, Claire Dalton, Zumwinkle. These are, you know, names of players that we pretty much expected to see. I think Mrazova has been a surprise, and I'm going to include her in one of our segments right here. So those are your three stars. And then we also had the Supra Stars of the Month named by the PWHL. Supra is one of their sponsors. And so they named 6 players, 3 forwards, 2 defenders, and 1 goaltender. And a cool graphic here for, you know, if you want to look that up on social media. Not surprisingly, 3 of them are from Toronto. Emma Malte, Natalie Spooner, and Kristen Campbell. Malte, you know, maybe a little quietly, had 7 games and 5 points in February, tied for the most in the league during that period, and a plus-minus rating of +5. She, of course, has scored 2 jailbreak goals now. Natalie Spooner kind of goes without saying. We've got Megan Keller from Boston, who's really been on fire and just a backbone important player for that team. Anita Taralova from Ottawa, who has showed some surprising offense. And Kristen Campbell, of course, from Toronto. So this is the first month that they're actually doing this. They didn't do it for January, but I think this is a great, you know, initiative to just raise the profile again of the great players in this league. We also got the 10 finalists for the Patty Kazmaier Award in the NCAA. It's a little outside the PWHL, you know, news scope, but it will be, of course, these players will be the draft prospects and the players that teams are looking at drafting in the summer. Here's the names for you: Izzy Daniel, Sarah Fillier, Carolyn Harvey, Abby Hustler, Tessa Janicki, Abby Murphy, Casey O'Brien, Gwyneth Phillips, Danielle Serdachny, and Kristen Sims. So we've got 10 finalists right now, and it will be narrowed down to 3 pretty much any moment, probably by the time you hear this. You know, a lot of players are having great seasons, and it'll be exciting to see who wins this. I think Sarah Fillier is still going to be the top draft pick, even if she doesn't win this award. But the winner will be announced on Saturday, March 23rd at the NCAA Frozen Four. So keep an eye out for that. I also have a video on the channel covering the top draft prospects for this summer's draft and the format and the details on how that's going to work. The draft will be in June. There's no specific date announced yet, but, you know, it's getting exciting to kind of look at how teams are going to finish and who might end up on their radar according to where they do finish and who might grab that number one pick. Speaking of, you know, excitement and exposure, the league is just getting so much buzz and coverage. There was a segment on the Today Show that was great. So check that out on their site or their social media. They were featured on Breakfast Television in Canada. The social media, you know, stuff and interviews that they've been posting is really, really fun to see. And we're getting to know the players as the season goes along. So again, just the amount of buzz with this league, I hope you're able to take it in and appreciate it and participate in it. It's a very inclusive, uplifting, positive community all the way around. It's just fun to see.
Next up, it's 6 in 6.
That's right. It's a new segment, 6 teams, 6 minutes or less. And we're going to go through each one. This week, it's going to be the draft steal for each team. So if you think, I'll name the team and give just half a second for you to think of who you might pick. This is inspired a little bit by what I did last week with Chris Sinclair, where we went back and forth with no time to think, just first answer. And I'm almost doing that. I had to look at the list of draft picks for each team. But so it's going to be the draft steal. And so for Ottawa, this is really, really easy and probably won't take you very long to think of either. It's obviously Katerina Mrazova. She was taken in the 8th round. The Czech players, Laskova went first in the 4th round, and then Benisheva and Taralova were both picked ahead of her in the 7th round. Mrazova was picked in the eighth round, right behind Taralova, actually. So she had played in the PHF and the University of Minnesota Duluth and was well known by Coach McLeod. And right now she's fifth overall in league scoring. So, you know, what a great steal for them in the eighth round. If we look at Minnesota and if you want to consult your list, take a look. For me, it's right here, round 13, Liz Sheppers. She has just been a really, really versatile, valuable player. You know, it looked like the 13th round was lucky for a lot of teams, but that's my pick. You know, we have to keep going because the clock is ticking. So Liz Sheppers, you know, was taken behind players like Sydney Morin, Claire DeGeorge, but there she is in round 13. That's a great pick. For New York, if you look over their list, it actually isn't terribly late in the draft, but an absolute steal because other teams did not pick Corinne Schroeder and they got to grab her in the sixth round. You know, goalies were signed as free agents. Nicole Hensley was drafted in the second round. But here's Corinne Schroeder, you know, one of the leading goalies of the entire league and selected for Team Canada, just having a great, great season in the sixth round. For Toronto, we're going to look again at lucky round 13, where they drafted Hannah Miller. And I think they must have had some scouting on her because she didn't take the normal, you know, route through the NCAA and wasn't as well known. But she's been playing top line minutes and scoring really important goals for them. She was playing in China for a little while. So, you know, to find a player like that is great, great scouting and a great draft pick there for GM Gina Kingsbury. Moving on to Montreal, I am going to say, there we go again, 13th round, it's Elaine Chooley. Who would have thought? And, you know, I'll have to tell you, but we're doing a redraft so we could kind of get a do-over for this because I think she would have gone a lot sooner. That's all I can say about that. And then finally for Boston, in the 11th round, they took Sophie Shirley. You know, we knew she was talented coming out of the NCAA, and I think she's really blossomed. Glad she's back from the injury, and she played for Team Canada in the rivalry series. So that's their draft steal, and that's 6-6. Did I make it? Let me know if your picks would be different. You know, there were some surprises overall, some players that were taken early that, you know, haven't performed as well as some of these later players. The draft was a super interesting thing to look back on, so we'll be doing that for you. And drop a comment and, you know, let me know who your pick would be. I appreciate you, you know, giving me your feedback and sharing your opinions and just talking hockey. It's just the most fun thing to do. So that's going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out this weekend's games with the takeover and the big crowds and watch for some special guests because, you know, I made contacts with people and we're going to have some people join us for sure and grow this podcast. And drop a follow on whatever platform you are watching or listening. I really appreciate it. I'm working hard for you and we're going to ramp up our efforts to bring you more and more video, audio, and coverage of the PWHL. So I'll leave it there for today. Thank you so much for watching. I will have another podcast for you next week. Sorry, this one is actually a little bit late because of my trip, but I will have some special features next week for sure, probably on Monday. So thanks again, and thanks for being part of the community.
PWHL Pot Drop Podcast.